Welcome back to Clock Choke, guys. We're jumping on with a good friend, Matsufumi Ebetan Watanabe, an amazing designer, runs a label called Bedouin and Heartbreakers. He's been around street culture and fashion forever. He's also an avid jiu-jitsu athlete, a good friend. So we're just going to jump right in and we're going to talk about what he's been up to and also maybe he's been getting into jiu-jitsu. So let's get in. Bebe, thank you for jumping on the podcast.
No, thank you for having me back. It's been a while since I saw you last time. This is about, thank you for having the opportunity for me to be there for you. Yeah, let's talk.
Okay, well, let's just jump straight into kind of like the beginning stages, Bebe. And a lot of people that are familiar with you come from the fashion streetwear space and some of those communities. But I'm talking to you specifically on kind of how you got involved with jiu-jitsu. So how did it start for you? What year or when did you start to get exposed to it? What was the beginning looking like for you?
Right. Remember it's like eight, nine years ago, I was already 40. And then I was looking for something new, challenge for me. It's because I already had 10 years experience for the fashion business. I mean, like a business is a business I enjoyed myself. It's about I was looking for something new. Then I was living around, the Carpe Diem. Used to be called like Trihorse Aoyama. It's nearby the Harajuku Motosando. It's just like a kind of boutique, nice area. But I was like hanging out myself like Saturday morning. It's like, take a walk, just looking for something. And then I found the dojos. I mean, gym was BJJ. I mean, I knew there is a BJJ gyms about there, but there was like big windows, like I could see, someone's like training jiu-jitsu from outside. Then I, whoa, this is cool. Maybe like I can just try to, see what's going on. So then like maybe if I'm interested, like I can start a train something new, probably jiu-jitsu. I mean, I know jiu-jitsu from like 90s was Pride, was quite big in Japan. And then, the Rickson Gracie or those like legends, Gracie jiu-jitsu people come to Tokyo and have some match with, get some like so much great matches and, watching through the TVs. But I just didn't know exactly what was like. Then I tried to get into the gym, but it was so intense. Like all the guys is like, roaring on the mats and like sweated out. I couldn't get in even one step inside of the gym. And I was 40. It's like, why am I scared of, But anyway, I left that day and then stayed in the home and I was really irritated myself. Why I couldn't get into the gym is just to say hello to anybody, But then it was kind of like, I was scared. But then no, I shouldn't be scared. Just want to go and say hi. At least it's just try to like, have some conversation with, instructors or even like students. And then next day, Sunday, I went back again. And then I step into the dojo. And then all of a sudden, the instructor just asked me, he's like, hey, you are trying jiu-jitsu? Is it first time? And I say, first time. Are you going to join us or are you going to try? I mean, because like they don't know me. They don't know what I just coming for training or just trying to have a look. But I was so nervous and I say, yes, I want to start it. So then they ask me, are you sure? So it's like, say, I'm sure. I mean, like I didn't even think, what was jiu-jitsu like. But anyway, that was just day one. I started jiu-jitsu and then I trained in jiu-jitsu. Then I'm getting really, really, into the Brazilian jiu-jitsu since then.
On back in 2010, 2011, when you started, like that first day that you started, what was that first day and that first week like for you?
For me, it's like, okay, I was a little bit cheeky, but because like, okay, I just have enough confidence to start a roll with anybody that time because I was 40. I didn't have any confidence to roll properly or anything. I just started to say, hey, can we have a private lesson for a while to get some little, technique. At least it's like, I don't want to put anyone's, legs, but then I just, started like normal, but I didn't have any confidence to do it. So then I started as like private lesson for probably 2-3 months, maybe once a week, twice a week, little by little. Yeah, that's how I get into jiu-jitsu. I didn't just start as a normal class, but you know, I just started as a private class.
And what do you think that helped you, or do you think that helps some people that maybe are uncomfortable starting in the beginning? Because your feeling is very, it's very common with, I don't know, if I was to guess, probably 70%, if not more, people that first join the gym. So do you think, and I think in the last podcast with Scott Kahn, he was saying, no, I definitely think some people taking privates in the beginning, just to kind of get used to it a little bit, if you can afford it, it's not a bad option, you know? So
yeah, I think it's very, very good options, you know, because it's like basically like just, you know, me and instructors, the teachers, just like, I can ask anything. And also like, he can see me like, you know, privately. The thing is, it helps definitely. Like if you have time and then, you know, afforded to pay for the private lesson, because private lessons is quite expensive. But I was like, you know, I've been working hard for 10 years before then. And like, you know, I could have like a little bit of time breaks, like during the lunchtime or like a tea time, whatever it is that I could choose. I was flexible. So then it was helped me to be like a confidence. I think it's like, at the end of the day, you can start as a normal class. I realized it. But I was lucky because one of the teachers, instructors, it was Popo Bell. His name is Tsuyoshi. Now he's based in London. So he just started to teach in as private lesson. So he was very into teaching someone, you know. That's what I was really lucky to get some kind of cool times with him. I asked so many, you know, not even only techniques, but like history of jiu-jitsu, you know, the name of the fighters. And then, you know, those things are what I get more into the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu right away.
And for you, how is it switching from private classes to, once you entered your first normal class, was it kind of culture shock for you? Were you excited, nervous? What was going through your mind when you were, went into that?
Yeah, that's exactly what you say. I was really nervous and the culture shock. So like, you know, I never fought in the street. I mean, I like the concept was like, you know, the man's or woman's, it's really stands out for something in the movie, not the real life. I never get any troubles in my life. So, you know, that's what I just like. I just want to learn, enjoy the technique, enjoy like, you know, exercising, nothing competed to anybody, you know, just I was enough to have like actually a private lesson. But then, you know, after 1 month, 2 months, he gave me some compliments. Oh, you're doing great. So you can start a normal class. It's much, much better. It's like you can roll with anybody. At that time, it's like, I didn't know. There is like some other side of the stories of jiu-jitsu. What is the beauty of jiu-jitsu? Like meeting the people. So, but then I just want to like some kind of, I just want to attach to the jiu-jitsu. Nothing else. I just want to like move my body and get some technique. That was enough for me at that time. But then, Tsuyoshi told me, just like, hey, why don't you come to the regular class? And they're like, no, it's okay. It's not my thing. So like, you know, he asked me every day. So, and then I was into it. Maybe I can do it. Then I pushed myself and pushed in my butt. And then I'm going to be there on the mat, you know, like a lunchtime lesson. Let's do it. And then I had the normal class. And then these guys, for me, I was white belt. They are so sweet. I mean, they let me play role, and then they didn't let me win, but they told me like, you know, so many things. And then like, this was a very precious time for me to meet someone from the different industry, not a fashion, you know, people from anywhere, can be finance, can be constructor, can be part-time job, can be artist. Like, and I could meet random people on the map, but everybody wearing like, you know, gi, doesn't show anything, doesn't show how much you got, doesn't show how much, you know, they do. They just like enjoy the roaring and jiu-jitsu with the people. Then I was, oh, wow, this is it. I just found something what I like the rest of my life. So that was probably like a couple months after I started the private lesson.
Was that... You said something, and then you said something that I've heard a few times, especially for people in all gyms. But I think I was talking to a couple people at Clockwork in New York City, and they said something very similar too. They're like, you know, it's normally we're around our crew of friends or our group of people, whether it's all finance people, you know, mm-hmm. all other types of people or fashion, right. whoever it is. But they're like this one place we're all able to kind of like commingle and not, you know, be in normal circles outside of this gym, but we're able to kind of come here and kind of just like explore and learn and kind of, and just kind of mix and have conversations. Was that like a very interesting thing for you personally?
I mean, like, you know, I think it's super interesting for me. It's just like, I mean, like, it's very hard to find the people like them in the street. In the, you know, I mean, some people like introduce some guy, but usually like if you are working one industry, you know, you never seen other people from the industries, you know? I mean, you know, you could meet like your friends from the high school and the college, they'll just go, you know, random industries and those stuff. But if you go in like jujitsu on the mat and like you see so many variety of the peoples, that's the beauty of the, I think also jujitsu, also sharing the same community with the people from different industry, different sex, different ages, different nationalities. This is all about, I think, as a human nature, you know, that's how I could find the beauty of this jiu-jitsu community, what I'm very, very appreciative.
For you, baby, what made, because you started training like crazy. I mean, you started a little later, right? Like at 40, but like,
yeah,
you were training a lot. Like,
yeah,
it's like eight times. How many times were you training a week when you started?
I was okay. As I said, I was starting private lesson, right? Private yeah. lesson was probably like first like once in a week, and then no, once is not enough. Second, you know, twice a week. Twice is not enough. Could it be three times a week? I have to sneak out from my office and just like I couldn't tell anybody like I was doing it. But then, okay, since I started to normal class, I think I went to jiu-jitsu once or twice a day. So that I mean just like literally like 7, 8, 10 times a week, no problem. And then I was very, very into it. I was 41, 42, but I didn't care how old I am. I just like, I was, you know, so into it. Then I, it's like addicted. And also like meeting people, like a chit chat is like after, before, like, you know, jiu-jitsu was like kind of like a salon. That was my life. And then like still part of my life, but I, you know, the first 2-3 years, I couldn't see anything else. It was just like into my, you know, jiu-jitsu life was 100% or 120%.
What for you, what do you think are the, like the two or three biggest things that made it really addictive for you? What were those? What did you love and hate about it that made it so addictive for you?
Right. I wish I could like be like, this is for like 5, 10 or whatever is like, you know, just like the part of my life. It's like ideally like and then go to work and then and come back in a home, like spend time with my family. That's my ideal life. But then not only like single, my wife is in different countries. So then I had like 100% time belong to myself. So I was, you know, luckily I was into jiu-jitsu like a couple of years, like, you know, 100%. And like, you know, that brings me like, you know, great techniques, great networks and great mindset and very healthy. I mean, it's still, you know, I'm still healthy since that stuff, but I could share it with time for my family, for my work a little bit. And, but still, you know, that time was kind of precious time for me. It was into almost 99% for jiu-jitsu. I dedicated my time every day. So it brings me like those of like, you know, the great things for like mentally, you know, mental health, and also like, you know, the work is good, and then, you know, technique has got like so many new techniques of what I learned, and I could enjoy my role with other color belts. It's like it was progresses so well, improves so well.
And on from your opinion, baby, why do you think sometimes very few people within like the creative or from the creative space or maybe even from the fashion space, some people do stick, but some people have a hard time sticking with it? Do you think it's just because sometimes jiu-jitsu is kind of like it's a little too hardcore, a little too hard-nosed in the beginning? Like, or
I think it's like a jiu-jitsu, like, you know, made from so many different people. I think it's like, I can tell like everybody, like, you know, sometimes people tell me, it's like, oh, you go cool. It's like, you're very creative. You do creative job. But I think it's like, everybody can be creative. You know, once when you woke up the morning, you choose clothes what you're going to wear today. Even though you picked like cool t-shirts or you picked just like whatever t-shirts, at the end of the day, you got to be creative. You got to be like, pick something like to new. Same as like jiu-jitsu. Once when you roll with somebody, you got to do something. Then it means like you have to use your body and then think and you know, what you're not going to get and what you're going to give. You know, those things is just like, a very, very important. And then, like, you know, like you said, it's like jiu-jitsu is like, you know, so many different people. And, you know, some people are doing really hardcore things. It's because they love it. But then some people not just like, you know, take it easy. I mean, that's the, also the beauty of the jiu-jitsu. So many variety, different, the way of thinking, the people coming to the mat and then they roll with random people. So it just depends on the gym, depends on the people. But, you know, I think it's just like jiu-jitsu is the, it's just like, you know, to meet the people on the mat and then to be creative. That's why I think it's like, you know, I recommend anybody, any, you know, even fashion people, like anybody, like, hey, why don't you start? This is just very, very like, you know, humanity you could find on the mat and then meeting like so many different people. But then of course, sometimes you meet like assholes or sometimes people like dick. But at the end of the day, what I could feel like, you know, on the mat, you know, at the end of the day, if you have a role with somebody, sometimes it's got really like annoyed. It's about very, very few. I think mostly like 90% you can meet like beautiful people.
With shifting a little bit, baby, from jiu-jitsu just to life and design and culture and being around that like your whole life, mm-hmm. or a big part of your life. What, like, how do you treat your, like, how is that, has jiu-jitsu changed that for you or kind of gave you an outlet? But like, how do you treat like design when you're building garments and you're building clothing and pieces? Because like a lot of the stuff you do is very, very subtle. And, you know, there's, it's like, it's almost like everything's in the small, small details. And for the people that know and understand it, they can see the details, but, you know, for the average eye, sometimes they don't pick up those details because they're so subtle, but they're specific ones that make sense. So what's your thought process on just like designing things in
general?
Yeah,
that was a good question, because like when I started jiu-jitsu, I didn't think anything like related to my work. I just want to do something separately. But then if I do something like, you know, once in a day, once in every day, or even like, you know, 8 times a week, it's getting absorbing, your body is absorbing something about you doing it. So then, but still, like, you know, geese is like, I could choose cool gi. I mean, like, you know, one of my good friends gave me the gi. It was first gi was Shoyo Roll, and then like I found some details in there. Oh, what is that? You know, the guys who made this gi is probably, they love fashion.
I think it was like, Angelo, right?
No, it was the Rintalo. Rintalo is
okay.
He just gave me like secondhand Warner, and like he just gave me like brass cream tapes and then some like a lion, jaw lions in there. It was also like, you know, it's like kind of like concrete patterns and those things. It was like, I know this one. Someone's like, you know, kind of like living the same industry, what I guess. But anyway, so then, but still, like, you know, I wasn't much involved, like, you know, fashion and also jiu-jitsu got together. But anyway, so then once when I was doing like every day and regular basis, then I getting more, you know, into jiu-jitsu and then bring my fashion and also jiu-jitsu come to my industry fashion and then something like that. Then I, one day, Yuki from Kabudim asked me, hey, shall we do some collab for like making t-shirts or making sweatshirts? He was interested. And like I say, I wasn't sure. It's like, oh, no way. It's my fan or the people like buying the Bedouin on the Heartbreakers. They don't care about jiu-jitsu. I care about jiu-jitsu, but they don't care. It's like, how are we got, you know, possibly to work together? But actually, I was a designer. So I was a creative director. It's like I was into the jiu-jitsu. Some consciousness, like I could get inspired by jiu-jitsu every day. So that means it's becoming more like, okay, that time was like a bit was inspired by traveling or music, more like subcultures. But then it's becoming more like you know, like a training, exercising, sports activities, and also of course jujitsu. And then I started to try to get mixed together, and we did a collab, and all the people who on the mat is just, they don't really care. Some people care about fashion, but normally they don't care about fashion. But then becoming like, you know, they, you know, look up the people, you know, wanting cool gi, also cool technique. This is not about old fashions, but they kind of like checking what kind of gi you wearing, like, you know. Then of course, Shoyu Rose is one of the best gi products, gi brands, what I can think of is like, you know, I never wear any other, you know, gi, but I was like enjoying wearing Shoyu Rose gi every time is what I roll with. And then, you know, those things is kind of like become crossing over, and then it's got inspired by the jiu-jitsu industry to my brand, or plus the other already runs, they got really inspired by fashion. Because it's like they are like enjoying like the jiu-jitsu, but you know, they starting to buy some cool gears, whatever is like a brand's cool for them, and then the colors, they enjoy the colors, they enjoy the, you know, also combination of the color of the belt, what they wear with a gi or like a rash guards. They kind of started enjoy also gears, because the jiu-jitsu is activities, like they just want to find something useful and then looks special for them. That's the how I get, oh wow, this guy, these guys, non-fashion guy becoming fashion, it's because of the cultures. And the same thing as me, so when I was younger, like I got inspired by the skateboard cultures, soft cultures, or like music and the hip hop and the rock scene, it's because of the cultures. So at the end of the day, okay, so this is what I do. It's like I started something like with the people. And then how I got, you know, involved to bring my fashion world to jujitsu.
When you're collaborating and you're kind of intermixing both between design, what you do, and also what you do when you're creating stuff for the brand Bedouin or any of the other brands that you run, for you, when, well, I think when we, at least for me, whenever I look at all your stuff, and you know, it could be a collaboration with Dickies or Adidas or Pendleton, whoever you're doing projects with, like, mm-hmm. All the garments and all the pieces and a lot of the designs, like it's very, very, very subtle. Like when you're adding mm-hmm. your touch or your design to somebody else's label, is there a reason you do that?
I think this is just my personal flavors, which I got. I like mostly like simple clothes. And then something like a functional use, because what I get inspired by someone's wearing cool fashion is always like workwear, always military wear, like supplies wear or sportswear, something like related to the street cultures. Because the I think it's back in the days, you know, skaters, they don't really care about fashion back in the days. They just enjoying skateboards. So then once when they're wearing some fragile pants, trousers, then I, you know, they just want to get something tougher. So then they just pick the Dickies or walkwear pants, you know. Those ideas, what I like most, is about people can make the fashion, but people, you know, I love fashion, but the way of the fashion, what I like is something functional, use something attached to the culture, something attached to the humans, people lifestyle. So it's kind of like it has to be simple, because you know, the simple clothes, many people can wear the simple clothes. It's not much, you know, flashy egos on the garment, but you know, has to be something useful for the people. That's what I like most. So it's people call it utility wear. For me, it's just like what I design, something like a utility wear, but a little bit of top of like essence of the city where I live, and then, you know, the graphic, something what I like personally, something on top, but it has to be subtle, like you said. You know, if I put so many, you know, the flavors on top, and then, you know, not so many people could wear it, it's because it's becoming more like a very identified, strong identified, and then this is the brand from this this man, that kind of thing. But I don't want those things. I don't need those things. I just want to make the people's life a little bit like more fun and a little bit more useful, a little bit more like, you know, reasonable. That's what I like more. That's what I like Levi's, you know, or like Dickies or like those American workwear, because they're not fancy clothes. They just like want to make something like, you know, cool products for the people who work hard, you know. That's the concept of what I like.
I think it's interesting and amazing, because like anytime I see you do a project, and I've noticed it as well when we've worked together on when you've helped us build either collaborative projects with Shoyer or through with Bedouin, or you know, if you've done like what you've created a bunch of like MW stuff for like Shoyer as mm-hmm. well, like, and that's what always seems to amaze me, is like the garment and the design of the garment is really, really thought out, and you try and do the best on making sure the garment is high quality and also very, very functional. But then also the touch of where you're trying to add branding or labeling or, you know, aesthetically, it's never overly done to be overly graphic most of the time. It's just to try and like let the garment speak for itself. So I think that's like, I always like found your sense of design and taste for building and creating items like very classic and timeless, and you know, basically. So
thank you. Yeah, I like timeless. I like timeless things. I enjoy the following of trend. It's because of what I could see, you know, what is people like. It's about like me, I personally like timeless is more important to me. It's because like, you know, once when you were 20 years old, if you could wear the same clothes when you were 40 years old, or if you give your clothes to your son or your daughter, you know, once when they are like younger, that would be the great products what I've seen. That's why I like American heritage clothes, American heritage brands. It's because I could see some like simplicities and then useful garments or products in their like, you know, as a philosophies. Those things is for me, it's more important than like changing like every season, and it's just only wear the, you know, like today or like this year, then you never wear like next year. So those things is like, for me, it's kind of wasting time, wasting money, and then like it's no eco, it's no sustainable things. That once when you wear the same clothes for 100 years, that would be like, for me, just like, wow, that's the goal. You know, that's the goal. That's what I like. Keep it simple, no, not too strong taste on top. And then at the end of the day, my creativity is not the most important thing. What I believe is the most important thing is like for the people who choose the clothes. And then just clothes helps you to make your life just a little fun, just a little easier, to make, you know, your life a little colorful. That's it. So it's not like major change, dramatic, changeable your life. That's not my brand. My brand is just going to help you be side of like, you know, your life and just to help you a little bit, you know, that those type of the clothes or brands, what I like most, you know.
Hey, we're kind of getting close to closing. What do you think as far as, is the future of clothing? Is it a little, mm-hmm. is it more old or is it more new or is it a little bit of both?
I think it's like fashion is just trend and a cycle. And then I think it's like, you know, if you look up the technology, if the technology goes up, like, you know, nowadays it's like, you know, using a technical spider web or thing, all those technology brings you up new clothes, new material. And the way of what you wear was the, but I still, at the end of the day, as a fashion, I think daily fashions, I don't think it's no major change, to be honest. But I think it's the nowadays is the people jump on top of like a hype and the fashion. They enjoy to be themselves or to be try to be someone else. Those things is kind of a little too much. I think it's the next 5-6 years, more people settle down to look for themselves. What is most important to you? And, you know, but then, you know, change it again. A fashion is always changeable. That's the fashion. That's the also beauty of the fashion. You know, whatever your generation and then got some like idea, strong idea of the fashion. And then when you look at like a younger generation, you know, you wouldn't understand, or you try to understand maybe, but then like, you know, it's not a, you know, your generation. So that's the fashion, I think. So for me, this fashion is always change. You never know, like next year's, you know, some color, special color, some special material, some special graphic is coming on top of the old fashion. And then that's the fashion. So whatever you grab, whatever enjoy, yeah, I'm happy to tell those, like, you know, you please enjoy the fashion. That's what you are. That's what you create yourself. But at the end of the day, for me, this fashion is a process to find yourself, to have your own identity. So whatever is that you find something what you want to wear, then, you know, whatever, just enjoy. That's what I think. So fashion is, yeah, I mean, like a next fashion trend or this today's fashion trend, whatever it's about. Yeah, some people, you should enjoy, you know, whatever you are.
Baby, one of the last questions before we get closer to closing. What's the next step for you? I mean, you started jiu-jitsu in your 40s. You're going closer to, you know, 10 years and the next stage of your life. How do you treat jiu-jitsu for yourself now, and how has it changed, and what are you looking for in the future for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a couple of goals of jiu-jitsu in my life. I think it's possible I'm winning brown belt, next one's black. So I'm very excited to wear the black. Never wear the black, never try to wear the black. So, I mean, you know, I don't know how long it takes, but it's one of my goals, definitely going to reach up and grab some black belt to wear it. And then second of my goals for jiu-jitsu is like, you know, I want to train. I want to like be in the, you know, jiu-jitsu industries like as long as possible. I just want to train in jiu-jitsu, you know, probably like till like 80, 90, you know, I think it's like, I just want to like be in jiu-jitsu scene the rest of my life, and then get in front of, like, find something new every day, and then meeting new people, do something for jiu-jitsu with jiu-jitsu, you know, that's the goal also. Like, you know, that's the things. Is like, the rest is just like, I'm taking it easy. You know, I'm kind of like, you know, I was into like a modern jiu-jitsu like 5 years, 6 years ago, but now I'm getting old and then like my movements is kind of slower. So I get into more like a classic old school jiu-jitsu, which is also like, you know, I could enjoy the other, you know, other way. So, yeah, I just want to like be staying, you know, this jiu-jitsu life is forever, basically.
Hey man, I appreciate you with going into that new jiu-jitsu old man vibe. And I told Zook, next time we go to Tokyo, me, you, baby, the boys are gonna have to go to Kodokan, I mean, or something, and do some old school jiu-jitsu stuff. Yeah, you know, so.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu for everybody, right? Because when I was, you know, young, it's like a move first, and like that's the way I could fight, I could enjoy. But then once when you're getting old, it's getting more fat, or, you know, just change your strategy to be there, you know, to be on the mat, to get not the choke by younger people. But I still enjoy it, I know.
at this point, the goal is to be able to get your heart rate up, move around a little bit, have some fun, maybe get a little sweat in, and if you can get that in, I think that's a win, right? So.
Yeah, I was belling bowlers. It's like back in the days, it's like all the Mendes brothers, so cool. Like I still, you know, love them, but me as now is like a half good. It's just like trying to get more half good. I mean, it was kind of a little hurt, but you don't have to move. And that means it's like you can roll so many times a day. So that's one of my goals. Is like, I want to roll more, but if I move first and then getting like, you know, it's a little more like stress. So that once when I get something new, it's like half good to close girls. That's like old schools. It's like, you know, you don't have to move around. Just like get them, you know.
Too good. Well, baby, man, I appreciate your time, man. And thank you for jumping on with us, man. And on your stuff, what's the best way to find most of the stuff on social, Bedouin and,
I mean, like, I have all my social networks, but I you can check the, you know, Bedouin Underbuzz Offshore. That's the my brand's Instagram, and then my personal Instagram account is like Bedouiners. Yeah, I mean, you can check like from the old days, new days, Bedouin stuff, and also some collabs is coming up. Yeah.
Well, baby, I thank you for jumping on with us, man, and I can't wait to see you again soon.
No, thank you very much. very, very fun a chat with you. And then, like, I hope that people enjoyed conversations. And then I hope that people could find something like, you know, new thing in the jiu-jitsu.
Thanks again, guys, for jumping on the Clock Choke. If you could please like, subscribe, and follow us on social at Shoryul. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.